beacon shining in the night, sometimes obscured by a shadow, reinforced by a wall of ice, always protected by a podcast overlord.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
The mid-season finale. Oliver Queen is not dead this time.
He's not.
No, but they kill somebody off at every mid-season finale, I want to say, don't they? Mm-hmm.
I mean, usually. Or they hint at killing somebody off, like... Last season, they kind of hinted that it would be Felicity, but yeah, she made it through.
That's true. And before that, it was Oliver. And then before that, it was Barry, but not really.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, welcome back to Arrow Squad. Yeah. I'm the Shadow.
Yeah. I'm Cammy. Oh, I'm talking over somebody.
That's all right. You know, you guys are so exuberant.
We're just too excited.
I'm just really happy to have survived mid-season finale. I knew somebody was going to die. I didn't know if it was going to be me, and I made it. That's what's important.
Well, you may not, because if you're close enough to Oliver, you know, you may die.
I would not consider myself close to Oliver.
Oh, then you're set. You're totally set.
That one of those double-edged swords. Yay, I'm close to him.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to die.
I'm close
to him. Keep your enemies closer, right?
But you know what? If you're close to Prometheus, you're probably going to die too, because that's just what villains do. They kill people.
Yeah, or I'll kill Prometheus. Who knows?
I like that better. That's a good idea. Well,
That's for the actual season finale. I cross over to Arrow, kill Prometheus, save team. And then leave because the food's not good enough there.
Did you hear that, showrunners? You've got your story.
Done. Yep.
Booyah. I love it. Okay, so I'm going to start it off because, we've gotten a few comments that, you know, we've been a little critical, which is, hey, guys, this is our job, right? We're critics. We have to point out all sides of the story. And sometimes our emotional opinions get in there a little bit. But...
Because we love the show.
It's true. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about it. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to start off because I know your thoughts and opinions. So I'm going to start off with the sandwich approach, right? I loved this episode. And I know not everybody's going to agree with me here, but I'm going to do it. I'm the giddy one here. I loved it. I thought it was actually one of the best episodes of Arrow that I've seen in a very long time. I know it has its issues, as every show does, but I loved it. So there you go. Whose is the next most positive?
I have a positive I can throw out there.
Okay.
A single positive.
Oh no.
No, I'm kidding. I have more than one positive, but one that stood out to me that surprised me, because this is not a character that I or really any of us have had too much positive to say about this season, was Curtis. Curtis had a storyline really wrapped up all in one episode, his kind of discovery of what he's willing to sacrifice to be a hero. And he had the conflict with Paul. And that was really heavy material. And it's a lot to pack that cycle of a relationship all up in one episode. And I thought they did a pretty good job of not making it feel too rushed. They hit all of the emotional beats that you would expect. It made it feel real within the limited amount of time they were working with. And, you know, we've criticized sometimes the like relationship writing on the show. So it was a pleasure to see, even though it wasn't like a happy ending relationship, it was a pleasure to see relationship and emotional beats written so well. And it was nice to see, you know, Curtis Echo get the opportunity to play that, because he does well when he's given good writing. So that is like one big thing where that's not usually where I would expect my, you know, strong positive to come from, but it came from there.
I would agree with that. I thought actually that was really well done, and it was refreshing to see a much more natural, you know, development rather than so angsty or, like you said, rushed and other things like that. Like it was just kind of, it felt normal, which is weird.
Yeah. At a con recently, Paul Blackthorne said that one of the things that happens a lot with the Arrow plots is that they just kind of like tell you rather than showing you, like they're like, and this happens, and you don't necessarily get to see it because it's quite fast paced, you know, and we're left wanting more, which we've talked about. That's a good thing, you know, that we want more. But, you know, we do kind of skip over a lot of plot points. And it was obviously quite rushed with Curtis and this development towards, you know, he's figuring out what he's willing to do to be a hero, but they did it well. They hit all the important bits. And I'm like, okay, the writers did a good job with this. I can work with this. It was cool.
I thought the emotion in general actually was relatively well done this episode and last episode too. You know, I mean, I'm kind of a sucker for, you know, the scene at the very end, you know, when, now I know everybody has their issues with Oliver and Susan, so we're not going to go into that point yet, but I'm talking about when they're talking and there's that beautiful score by, Blake Neely, you know, going on in the background, and then it shows Curtis crying and, you know, Felicity crying. And even though that was
the final montage.
Yeah. The montage. There we go. Thank you. Not obviously a happy moment by any means, but I thought that was just beautifully done in every way.
The cinematography there was really nice.
Yeah. The music. Oh,
it's obviously not haunting. Something where we're like enjoying a happy moment. Like, you know, Flash, we would see them all to get together for a family dinner and be happy or so, you know, and this was Arrow.
Awesome.
Right.
The ending of Flash this week was happy and the ending of Arrow was not. And I'm like, oh, weird. Okay. Yeah.
You know, you get some, you lose some. But from a heartbreaking standpoint, it was shot nicely.
Yes.
Nitpicking some of the storylines later on when we like maybe get to our cons, we might have some. But the cinematography of that montage was beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So,
Kevin, you're up.
Yeah, it's your turn, Kevin. Initial thoughts.
You have to be positive. You have to find a plus.
I have to be positive.
The plus is it's mostly over. I'm just kidding.
No, I didn't dislike the episode. Okay. Don't take it like that. But I'm afraid some of the nitpicks that I think we're going to touch on, unfortunately, overwhelm some of the other things that I liked. I mean, and you hit it perfectly there talking about Curtis. I loved some of the stuff he got to do this episode. Right. But this is episode number 9 of the season. Mm-hmm. How much have we seen Paul before this episode?
Zero. None.
Okay, so, hey, let's bring your character in so we can crush him and then kick him out. Yeah. I mean, it was just a little too neon sign. Look what we're going to do to this nice guy. So it was just, if he had at least shown up a couple of times earlier, you know, when Curtis came home late one night and he was worried about him or something, I'd feel natural. But it just seemed like, yeah, let's shoehorn him in here to finally give Curtis a shot at becoming who we hope he becomes. So unfortunately, that kind of took away from some of the Curtis stuff for me. And you talk about that montage, the same thing. I had some notes were like, and that's the word, beautifully done, the music and the images. But I'm also thinking, okay, Oliver just had this really crappy interaction with the Prometheus. He's down in the dumps. He actually just killed Felicity's boyfriend.
Right.
And he's going to make out with Susan.
Yeah, that was like, what the?
Okay, back the truck up, man. I'm just not having any of that.
Yeah.
If he had leaned over and cried in her arms, totally fine with it. If he had slightly pushed her away of, you know, not right now, because that was her way of trying to show him, that would be okay. But it was like, hey dude, I'm going to score. Like, I don't know.
It's what?
One
of the theories going on out there, which I totally actually think this theory is more, I'm going along with this theory more than anything else, but I think that's one of the ones that's going out there, is that she's playing him and he's also playing her. And that to me, if we can go with that, because it's like, okay, Oliver's smart. He, you know, he should know. And the fact that he would know what vodka tastes like. So if she's serving him vodka and he's drinking, he would know that that's vodka. And that's not going to be something that he's going to be like, oh, whatever. I totally don't even know. So my hope and my theory is that it's pissing us off because as a viewer, we're like, no, what are you doing? But my hope is that she's playing him, but yet he's actually playing her and he's going to win this one. That's my hope.
Yeah. I tried to think of like a positive spin on that because, you know, we all three of, I think, especially you guys actually have had some really good points in the past about how if they don't have Oliver play her, if this is just this, like, you know, we have to throw romance in this season, so this is his romantic, you know, whatever, then that's not just a small flaw. That's like a huge undermining of a lot of some key character traits that, you know, if we paid attention to the flashbacks, he should have by now. You know, if we believe that this guy's, you know, so that's it's more than just like a little like, oh, it's a little nitpicky. That's like, no, that's like a big deal to his character if they do that. So keeping with what you're saying, Brian, because I agree, kind of because I have to hope that that's the case.
I know.
That he's playing her. My positive spin that I can throw to contribute towards that is he was just told anybody he comes near, anybody he touches, etc., will be in danger.
Mm.
So perhaps he didn't want to be around anybody he truly cared about.
That's true.
So going to her is him trying to get back to a place where he feels like he controls the situation because he feels like he's playing her, which he probably is. And she's not some, you know, if they showed him watching a movie with Thea afterwards or, you know, comforting Felicity afterwards or having a drink with Diggle or, you know, anything that would be, quite frankly, much more rational and poignant, then he would be perhaps in his mind putting somebody in danger.
Yeah,
so
that's
that was my way to rationalize that scene and make it make sense. Because otherwise, you know, if he's going to somebody and he wants like a friend to listen to, he's got quite a few that he's had like less than 30 seconds of a one-on-one with so far. You know, like he has a sister, he has Diggle, and you know, we haven't seen a lot of one-on-ones with them so far this season. So I kind of have to interpret it in that context that you are also interpreting it, Brian.
Yeah, let's hope. Because if it's one of those things where he's, man, just stupid, I'm going to be like, no, I can't believe that. It's just not after what he's been through.
Because we want to root for him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he makes mistakes and that's okay, but we still want to be able to root for him as a hero. And one of the reasons why we root for him is because he is supposed to have these character traits of, you know, being kind of smart and cunning and, you know, very protective of those around, you know, all of these things that kind of redeem him when he does, you know, make mistakes or mess up. But this would be something that would really undermine the audience's ability to root for him. So I'm definitely hoping that's not the case, because Kevin's reaction to it is definitely mine as well, where we're sort of like, really? Like, you just killed your friend's boyfriend and you're not gonna like, you're gonna like let her cry alone in her apartment? Like it felt odd.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, he didn't go to be there with her.
Yeah,
I didn't understand that one.
There were two moments there. So seeing her cry alone in her apartment does not really make sense. At least Thea or Diggle or somebody would have been with her. That felt very odd. Like, it was there just for the angst of like, look at a girl crying alone by herself. But in reality, she has a lot of teammates that would be with it. You know, like, neither one of you guys would ever do that to one of your friends.
No.
Like, just let, you know, like,
not
you would
all.
Be there for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that felt odd. The other part that felt odd was actually right after she found out, though. So you have the whole team there and it's sort of like the culminating moment where the team has to decide if they're going to stay together, even though Oliver's sort of like pushing them away and being like, I can't put you guys in danger, you know, and they decide to all stay together. And you see this shot, and it's quite a pretty shot of the Arrow Cave sort of from above. And Oliver is standing there and Diggle comes over to him. And then Curtis, Wild Dog, and Rory all kind of come over to him and they're all kind of comforting him. And Felicity's just standing there and Thea's the only one who like goes over to comfort her. And I'm like, you're not comforting the person who actually like lost somebody? I'm confused. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was weird.
So now, okay.
It was awkward.
To play devil's advocate on that, I'm not saying that you're wrong or right. I'm just throwing this one out. Is that like, because Wild Dog's not close to Felicity. So, you know, he's probably not going to go comfort her. Rory, Curtis, yeah, I would think so. Thea, yeah, that makes sense. Diggle, you think would pull her in.
Right.
I'm just kind of trying to think like, I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying. You know, it's funny because I saw a comment. Who let's see here. Who brought that up? Bianca, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This was Bianca's thought. And I was kind of like, I didn't even see that. I didn't even pay attention to that until I saw the comment. And then I was like, well, yeah, that is kind of weird. But
it was just because, I mean, not to sound callous, but I don't think any of us were super attached to Detective Billy.
No.
Like, we all kind of expected him to die. None of us are really mourning his death. None of the team, other than Felicity, really knew him. And, you know, I think, like, Oliver and Diggle may have run into him a couple times at something, you know, but, like, nobody's really mourning his death other than Felicity. So it's odd to, like, it seemed like they just wanted that, like, effect of like, there's a girl crying in the corner, but like, that's not what would have really happened with the team, you know. I don't know. it was odd. It felt like they were emotionally out of touch with what they were trying to write.
Well, you know,
but it was shot beautifully. So
yeah, no, you're right though. And I think actually, now that I think about it, it was that, you know, yes, it was Felicity's boyfriend, but I think it's that Oliver took the mm-hmm. spotlight because yeah. of how he said it, the fact that he started crying and he was the one that was right. talking. And I mm-hmm. think that's why. So yeah. was it right? No, because, you know, it's her boyfriend. But I mean, they right. were both hurting. So it seems to me like they both should have hugged each other and everybody should have come around them. Like that would have made a little more sense, of course. But
that would have been so nice to see.
Yeah. But it did. He just took the spotlight.
Because she has that line there where she's seeing him start to blame himself. And she says, no, this is 100% Prometheus. You and know, like that, you can see like.
Yeah. That was yeah. awesome.
That's when he should have gone up and hugged her.
Yes.
Right. If totally. They had just hugged each other, because we've had that like mom and dad imagery of them in the cave this whole season. If they had shown the rest of the team who's all watching them, like despite this happening, they're still able to stick together. That would have been such a like sign of like, that's good leadership, you know, yeah. to like still stick together despite that, even though this guy just killed her boyfriend, you know, like. For her to still, that would have been such a nice moment. The visual would have been great. You'd have everybody circling around them. You get some good music going. That would have felt nice, where the mid-season finale is obviously still ending, you know, terribly, where we're all like crying and emotional and stuff, but it still feels like a family. You get the yeah. family effect without like the family Christmas party. That would have been nice.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's not what happened though.
Well, and that's one of those things where you kind of go, is that just an oversight or why? I mean, like, what? Why did that happen and how did that happen?
You know.
I don't know. But no, that would have been.
There's a lot of questions about that.
Yeah. Although.
Well, and there's going to be folks who are naturally going to think, well, this is the Green Arrow story, not the Felicity right. story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would have been a nice nod to him if, you know. He had still gotten that one from her. You know, like it still would have made him.
Here's why it was even more glaring to me was earlier when he told her that Billy had been taken.
Right.
It was kind of like in passing. Oh, by the way, Billy, yeah, he's been kidnapped by Prometheus, but I'm going to try to find him. I swear to God. Like she's standing there on the verge of breaking down and he's like 15 feet away. Hey, Diggs, we got to go look at this guy. Let's go. Like, you might want to make me done that a little more gently.
Yeah, we got a comment. Leo Fonseca tweeted us about this to me and Arrow Squad Twitter, saying that she felt like it was odd, like their friendship was being sabotaged, like they were intentionally kept apart. And I think people are just trying to figure out, is that's just an accident that they felt so distant, or is there something like they're trying to drive a wedge there? Because if they're trying to drive a wedge, it feels like artificial angst. I don't know.
See, and I didn't even see that. But then again, I'm not looking
right.
for that either. You know what I mean? Like, I know that
yeah.
Felicity fans are focused on that. That's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, you know, when you're focused on a certain thing that you want to see or whatever, that's what you look for. Mm-hmm. And I'm personally not, so I don't know. That's a good thought.
To me, that's not even romantic or illicit.
Right.
This is someone that you care about, that you're friends with, and you've got some real bad news. You don't say it from 25 feet across the room.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little more connection there where you're, you know, yeah. you know, I got some bad news or something. I don't know. And I'm hanging too much on that. Because as Cammie started this off and we were trying to stay on the positive, there was a lot of good things in the app. There really were.
Yeah.
So we're hanging, or I know I am, I'm hanging too much on a few of those things, but only because they really stuck out against some other good stuff.
Yeah, I think that's one of the comments we made before we started recording, was that there was so many strong moments that it's just, if there are like cons, they kind of just stuck out because there was a lot of strong writing. So we'll get back to the positives.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we got to see Speedy back again. Oh, full costume, which was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, while totally doing tangent cast here.
Yeah.
And please. I'm curious to hear both of your opinion on this. You know, we got the reveal that, you know, quote unquote, Evelyn's gone to the dark side.
Right.
You know, she's with Prometheus. Is it just me, or did it really seem like Rory and Wild Dog just were really clicking pretty good there in the Yarrow Cave, communicating? And it seemed very natural.
Yeah. You mean as far as
out her around?
Yes. So, okay, that's funny you say that, because I was feeling that when she came back and gave them their presents and everything, and I'm like, okay, here we go. It's awkward again. And, you know, and the four of them are standing behind Oliver and Felicity. Again, they're just standing there, which is their complaint. Yeah. And it was awkward. And then when she wasn't there, it's like, okay, now I'm feeling these people. I'm feeling Wild Dog and Rory, and I guess Curtis was kind of on and off.
I just thought it was so, you know, Felicity telling him to do the DNA thing, and he's joking that, hey, you're the smart one. And Rory's like, well, you're going to help me. I mean, there was a good little back and forth that kind of worked between them. I don't know. It's funny. I felt guilty for going, why is it now working?
Well, so let me ask you this then. Do you think that maybe it was the Artemis character, or perhaps the actress, or whatever,
I think it, and both of you pointed out separately, it's the fact that we had so many characters, it was sometimes hard to see it as a team. I saw them as individuals.
Right.
And now with a few left, because even Curtis wasn't there too. So that was, isn't true. Just her. Curtis wasn't, even though he had his own separate story bit, the two of them being teamed up, if you will, or somewhat elbow to elbow, was that's kind of a natural fit. I can see them working.
That's good.
Yeah. And it was entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
Like they made sense together, and I was willing to watch that.
So there is some potential there in this. But again, it's highlighting for me that concern about there's just too many characters on screen to make a cohesion. So that was just an odd thing. And I say it's with Evelyn gone to the doctor, but it's also because Curtis was in the hospital and dealing with this Paul situation. So,
you know,
there were valid reasons.
And, you know, that kind of almost goes back to something we were talking about, that, you know, having those people not be there every single episode trying to have, you know, A and B story arcs, that, you know, Curtis, nice to see him doing his own thing. And he has always been good with his own storyline, whether it's, you know, featured like it was this week, or whether it was just a little side thing, not necessarily having to be there every single week. Interestingly enough, like, I don't think we thought that would happen, but that's what we've seen. And then goes to, like you just said, that it was fun seeing Rory and Renee doing their thing and having a good time. I felt like, and I hate to say this, because I don't mean this anything against Artemis or against Madison at all, but she felt like she was in the way the whole time. And that's,
you know, may not even be her fault. I don't know. To give them benefit of the doubt, I wonder if it was intentional, like if they were trying to play her as distant from the rest of the team because she was going to betray them.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they would, I suppose they would have had to know from the beginning that she was working with Prometheus. You know, the number of episodes they write ahead of time, they would have known already that she was going to be the mole. And, you know, maybe I would assume they let the actress know about that, or she knew that sort of fighting or whatever would be a part of the role. It's possible they were trying to make her be sort of a dissenting figure within the team and not have her become, like, you know, best friends with any one particular character, and instead focused on friendships between the other characters.
Well,
now coming to fruition.
Yeah.
And that's an excellent point, but here's a concern I have, and it goes back to a little bit what we were talking about earlier with the whole Oliver and Susan, who's playing who. This all makes logical sense as we talk it out as, you know, over-analytical podcasters. But when I'm watching it, I don't want to have to come back later to go, I hated that scene. Well, here's why you shouldn't have.
Right.
You know, there should have been something in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like when Oliver, if we think Oliver's playing her, and we got the couple of beats on the Russian vodka label, so we know something's up there. When Oliver took a drink, we should have seen like a little eyebrow raised or something that makes us know as viewers, he's on to her.
If you think about the way they even did the music in the Arrow 100 episode or the crossover episode, they used it in a smart way where, you know, when you were closing in on somebody's face, on Sarah's face or Oliver's face or somebody who was having these realizations that something's not quite right, they would have, you know, the League of Assassins music with Sarah or, you know, just something going on. There were some sort of clues there that let us know in the moment, like, yes, this is weird, but this is intentional. There are things they could do. But when you have, like you said, like with Madison, Artemis, when you have this presented to us as like, no, you really need to like this character, and she's, you know, we're giving her the Artemis title and she's supposed to be with the rest of the team, but something feels off and we're just left wondering, like, is that just me? Am I overthinking it? Is this not a good character? You know, that's leaving too much in question.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, there's only I don't know. I can't put a percentage on it, but there's only a portion of the viewing audience that is going to go to the depth that the three of us and many of you listening are.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I'm just, while I want to be challenged as a viewer, I also want the simple love of watching the story play out and being caught up in the moment, but and being able to root for my character. So the fact that I don't know if Oliver is on to Susan or that I don't know that Evelyn was going to go bad is just making me think too much.
Right.
Although I got to say, like, I've been watching Dark Matter and, you know, I finally just finished it. And there's something that one of the characters does in there that you really, you could have sort of seen it coming, but not quite. And then it's sudden and you're like, what the heck just happened? And it was nice not. It was nice not knowing. You know what I mean? It was nice not having clues, like you guys were just saying. So I think in some ways, if I get my clues, I'm going, okay, well, I predicted that. Versus if I don't get my clues, it's more like, you know, an early M. Night Shyamalan style story, you know, where it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that coming. And now I want to go back and, you know, look for that again. I personally love that kind of stuff. Kevin, we've talked that, you know, when Emily used to be with us, that you guys hate that. So I love that kind of stuff though. So,
yeah. And that's why I want to talk it out. Cause it's, there's different ways of viewing it. I'm just saying from Kevin's point of view, you know, I'm looking for a little more there, but you're right. That is sometimes a very simplistic way of doing a story. So I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying this guy's not loving that part.
Understood. Well, and so it even goes back to one of the characters this week where, you know, it's kind of like, okay, so you guys were saying like, it makes us want to hate Artemis, right? So we're like, oh my gosh, you know, cause keep her distanced. And they did the same thing with Billy. They kept him distanced until this episode. And then I'm like, oh, he's kind of cool. I'm starting to like him now. I'm actually starting to accept him. And then boom, I'm like, really?
Well, we never, correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm sure the listeners will too. Again, 9 episodes in the season. We never saw him with anyone but Felicity.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, I mean,
you saw him like at a, I guess that was this
crime scene when we once, but I mean, a little interaction. So we had, like you said, we're saying Shadow in that, or Cammy actually said it too. None of us are probably grieving for Billy being dead. I mean,
not at all.
Because we didn't have any connection to him other than the fact he was Felicity's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we didn't get a scene or two of, something happened, so you know, it just was a little.
And I don't think they were trying. I think with both Billy and Susan, I really don't think they're being presented to us as somebody that we're supposed to really like. Not really.
Sure.
Like, they're not bad people. They're not Prometheus. I suppose Susan could still be, but you know, they're not the big bad villain of the season, but they are not a member of the team. They're not presented in a way where we're supposed to root for them to be a member of the team. And we're not really rooting for them to like get information that will allow them to be in the inner circle. There's a space in this show for characters that we're not rooting for as heroes. And we're also not rooting against as villains. They're just there. They're sort of ambiguous.
Yeah.
Kind of like, what's his name there? What is the guy, the one that Oliver had his mayor moment with?
Yeah.
Brother Blood is what I like to call him.
Yeah, that's what he
looks. He reminds me of him a lot.
Yes, he does.
But no, yeah, the point is we don't know. I mean, some folks are conjecturing that he's Prometheus or got some.
Oh, yeah. He could
undercurrent
be.
Story, but we only see one little scene and he's only there to kind of go, do we trust him? We don't know.
That could be Claiborne Jr. for all we know.
Yeah, I know. Did you find, you know, again, tangent cast, the very beginning scene when we see Artemis giving the info to Prometheus and he's got all the pictures on the wall?
Yeah.
The one of Quentin had a big X through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I noticed
that.
What
did that mean?
That was great. I was thinking like they took him out of commission as far as his usefulness. Like he's the drunk and he quit and he's not Mayor Pro Tem anymore. But I was just kind of like, what the heck? Like,
I just, that was weird. I thought, okay.
I thought that they meant that like his use for Quentin is done.
Yeah.
The thing that he wanted to do with Quentin is like put this question of, you know, am I actually, you know, and just sort of delay things. It sounds like he's kind of trying to mess with each person in Oliver's circle. And I think his like messing
with him. Oh, so he already messed with him by leaving the arrow and making him think he might be Prometheus.
Exactly.
Kind of right.
And causing
him to go back. So now I would expect that, like, likely he's probably done with Felicity because he killed Billy, you know, so there's... Yeah. He's
Curtis.
Not,
and now Diggle. Yeah. And Curtis. Oh.
Yeah. Diggle is... got his cliffhanger as well.
So let's hold on. Let's jump back though to the everybody's like, oh, okay, Prometheus is Justin Claiborne's son. I'm gonna say or not. I mean, maybe. The picture of the baby, and there was let's see, there was one comment made, and I want to bring this one up really quickly. I'll have to find it. Christy, you brought this one up. How did Prometheus know the exact positioning of the bodies of the building? If he was a baby when his father was killed, this was 4 years ago that his father was killed. So what I don't think they were suggesting is that the baby in the picture. See, there's two theories I have in this. One is that's a baby picture from however many years ago, not necessarily 4 years ago. Like the guy's in his 20s. Let's just say that, for example,
sure.
Yeah. Or that Claiborne's son is actually like 6 years old or something like that. And he's not the one that's, you know, Prometheus or whatever. And I think everybody jumped to the conclusion that Claiborne's son is Prometheus, but I'm not quite so certain that that's the case. I mean, for all we know, it could be Susan. You know what I mean? I'm wondering, or maybe Susan is Claiborne's sister and / daughter, you know, like,
yeah,
there's so many connections that could be happening here. And there's so many speculations. We have no idea.
Right.
I think she's definitely connected somehow.
I do like that they, because I was curious how they would do the Prometheus reveal, if they were going to reveal who he was in the midseason and then leave the back half of the season to be like, we know who our hero and our villain is. Let's just see them try to like outsmart each other and who wins and figure out their motive, you know, or if they would just continue to keep everything a secret. And it's sort of like, you may slowly reveal who Prometheus isn't, like, we know he's not Billy, but we don't know who he is. So it was interesting to see just a little bit of Prometheus's identity revealed. We know it's somebody tied to Chambers from season one. So, and we kind of knew he was already tied to season one, but now we have a specific name to go with it. What did you think of that? Well, was that enough of a reveal for you?
It was a tease, really, reveal, which was I was okay with because we're mid-season finale. I wasn't expecting them to pull a mask off, so to speak. I didn't think we'd get that.
Right.
So I was okay there. I mean, as far as the knowing where to put all the bodies, part of me went that when that happened, maybe there was a lot of really well-documented crime scene photos, you know, so that Prometheus had access to the police files and could see where all the dead bodies were. You know, I'm not as the idea of how old whoever Prometheus is, it didn't really matter to me.
Right.
That could have been documented very easily that they get access to that. I mean, it was very cool to tie in the Prometheus to the quote flashbacks this week by having us see Oliver from several years ago. I thought that worked totally well.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. For sure.
I thought like, wow, this is like back to early couple seasons of Arrow where the flashbacks are engaging and can't wait to see the next one.
For sure.
You know, it totally worked. So but to get back to your point, Kimmy, the Prometheus thing we got, and like you said, too, Shadow, though, I'm not convinced it's the son. There's so many possible connections with Susan and everything else, so they're doing a good job there teasing me and making me wonder. So I do like that. My brain's going overtime on that one.
What did you think of Prometheus as an actual villain this week, though?
He was villainy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very villainy.
Yeah.
You know, telling Oliver, hey, you were, you know, judged as it, you know, is this where you killed him and everything, you know, being very, you know, like a good villain is, thinking they're the one in the right. You know, you were wrong, Oliver Queen. You have failed the city. My time to turn it on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Cammy, you liked him as a villain?
Okay. I don't want to be that person.
Go ahead, because I've got some positive things to say, so I'll sandwich it in.
This isn't like full-on salty, Cammy. This is just like minor critique.
Should I bring up your music, though?
No, okay, that's the right. We'll save it for if I actually get salty. Okay. So with Prometheus, I don't dislike him, but I've been sort of increasingly side-eyeing the amount of information that they've given us about him because I'm wondering how intentional it is or if they're trying to keep as much as possible a mystery and they just had to give us a name for the season one flashbacks to be used. Like, they wanted to use season one flashbacks in this episode, which, by the way, worked wonderfully. Loved it. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, they had to have a particular villain to associate Prometheus with. So they just gave us Chambers. And, you know, lo and behold, that's who... Claiborne. Yeah. Have I been saying Chambers?
Yeah, no, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure
we're... I have Chambers in my notes as well. Why?
I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page as all.
Yes, okay. Justin Claiborne.
Yeah.
So they show him from season one. Mm-hmm. We have a name now. We have an association. But that doesn't tell me very much about Prometheus. That tells me who he's associated with. He or she, I guess I should say. But I'm really wanting to know a little bit more about sort of the personality, the motive. I was really pleased there, not last week, but the week before, when I felt like we were seeing, at least through like body language and general speech patterns, some sort of like personality behind Prometheus, that he seemed to have, not exactly like Malcolm Merlyn, but on that same train, like he could go towards a flair for the dramatic if allowed, but he's kept very still. I was interested in that, because for him to be like a big bad villain, and maybe this is just me because I quite like villains, I want him to be interesting. I want him to have stage presence. I want him to be fascinating in and of himself, not just because he may be tied to a particular villain from before or a villainy organization or anything like that. So I was kind of hoping for more of that, because we had seen just a glimpse of maybe that starting to happen for him or her. And I was pleased with the tease to season one, because it allowed us the flashbacks, which were great. Those were fun to watch, perhaps more fun than a lot of the flashbacks we've seen. But I just want a little more personality from him or her.
Okay. Yeah. No, you know what? I think those are some great points. A couple things I wanted to just, total side notes real quick, just to kind of clarify, because I know there's some questions. Those season one flashbacks, yes, they were newly filmed by Today, yes. Oliver, Today Diggle. Those were not in the original season one episodes at all. Some people were asking, like, was that part of the original story? No, that was not. And additionally, yes, that is Michael Dorn, who played Worf on Star Trek, The Next Generation. That's voicing Prometheus. I just wanted to make sure, like, people are like, is that Michael? Yes, it is. So those two things aside.
Yes.
You know, I'm torn on the reveal of Justin Claiborne. Like, in one way, I wanted it to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that it's Tommy or someone like that, you know?
Right.
On the other hand, I'm glad that that wasn't someone like Tommy. So it's kind of like, I'm not really sure what to feel on that, but I'm not mad or happy either way. It was just kind of a, okay, you know what? I definitely liked where they went that, well, and what was interesting is that they're saying, oh, well, Oliver, you know, you're a killer. How dare you? Blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, yeah, but that guy created tuberculosis or a strain of tuberculosis to make money. Granted, right. Oliver shouldn't be killing him. And you know, he's grown from that. That was almost 5 years ago now.
Right.
Or, you know, four plus. But I liked the fact that there was actually justice there. It wasn't just revenge, you know? So I appreciated that. I'm wondering if the Justin Claiborne, yes, like you said, Cammie, there's an association there, but it's more of a distraction in that, you know, maybe he's not even a Claiborne at all, for example. Maybe it's somebody totally different or whatever. But one thing I did love about Prometheus this week that we have not seen at all, and this is something we talked about, is I want to see more of the overarching storyline for the season, and we weren't getting enough of that. What I liked this week is we got to see just how calculated and smart and intelligent and whatever you want to call it, sinister that Prometheus really is. You know, like, I'm going to learn everything Oliver knows. I am going to recreate a crime scene exactly the way that you did this. You know, like, that is, that's messed up. And I like that.
Do you think it's possible going into the later episodes in this season, we will have Prometheus be tied to more than one season one villain?
Ooh.
And that he might recreate more than one season one villainy interaction. That. And it might be more a tie to the list overall and trying to enact vengeance against Oliver for any of the killings he's done from the list.
I like that. That would be
that
awesome.
That would allow for a lot more season one content.
Yeah.
Ooh, now that would you're be cool. just going to set me up for disappointment because that would be super cool.
Wouldn't that be cool to revisit all of like the yes. best moments from season one?
A few different people from the list and a few different things Oliver was, you know, yes. in a bad place on. That really would.
Yeah.
That would mess with Oliver. That would be epic.
Yeah.
Instead of just somebody's offspring who's ticked off at you.
Yeah. Oh,
and
man.
It would have that same effect that we had in the mid-season where we saw all of these moments from all the four seasons, except it would be spread out over multiple episodes. We're getting to see little bits and pieces. And we could still have our Russian Bratva flashbacks as well on episodes where we're not specifically doing season one. But, you know, there's enough episodes to where they could do like a good 3 to 5 more season one villains if they wanted from
this
the
was
list.
Only Yeah, this is only number 9. We've got either 13 or 14. I don't know if this year's 22 or 23, but we still got more than half.
Could you imagine?
It would just become a bigger thing than just one person from season one.
See,
you know,
that is epic storytelling right there, what you're suggesting, because, you know, you're bringing together so many different elements that have already been told. And it's like, yeah, this dude isn't, like you said, it's not just some kid with revenge. It's like this whole mastermind mm-hmm. behind it, to not just to like, well, it's not even about revenge. It's about taking him down. It's about like eliminating him, because they only see Oliver as, you know, you take justice into your own hands. For example, you're not a true hero, you know, mm-hmm. which we get. So it's like, it's about actually taking him out and exposing him truly as a fraud,
right.
at least according to Artemis, that is. But you know what I mean? Like, wow, that would be an amazing story arc.
I thought that would be really cool.
Yeah.
I hope that happens. I won't get my hopes up too high, but
they've never done anything like that though.
Yeah.
Any of the shows
yet. It would
be
such a nice way to end this like 5-year arc, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that would be cool. Man.
Yeah.
I'm liking that.
And we would then get more shots of season one Felicity. I love that ponytail.
That was awesome. And the red pin.
The red pin.
I missed that ponytail.
Maybe we could get Walter and Moira for a second.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Frieza the maid.
Yeah.
Just,
I love her. She's only in like just, two episodes.
Just little bitty awesome. Tastes of that. I think would be cool if they were bringing it full circle. Yeah. But I will temper my expectations. It could just be ties to Justin Claiborne.
Yeah,
that
would be disappointing, but oh well.
Yeah.
Man, incredible. Okay, so let's talk Diggle really quickly, because we brought that up. I know there's some other things. As soon as he got that call, I'm like, no, it's a setup. Don't go. Oh my gosh. A lot of people are like, well, that has nothing to do with Prometheus. Actually, I think it does. I think Prometheus set that up.
Do you think, I saw this question going around, do you think Lila betrayed him?
No.
Okay.
I do not. I think.
Just thought I'd.
I don't think that was her voice. I mean, it was, but I don't think that was her, is what I mean. Or she was forced to, or something, like John was held at gunpoint or something like that. Little John.
So you don't think she's like a cold, calculated Argus mastermind underneath it all?
You know,
like a long plan.
If they go down that storyline, I'm going to be pissed as hell.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they threw so many like staggered final scenes at us in this mm-hmm. episode, what if Diggle's is a total fake out? What if that's an entire team that's there actually protecting Lila and the baby?
Oh, interesting.
Because he came storming in.
Okay.
So
that's
maybe
true.
There was something that happened that she called in the SWAT team and him. But when he got there, they were already there. So they were like, okay, who's this guy? Oh, it's just Diggle.
That's a good theory.
That is a very good theory.
Yeah.
So,
and that would be very Arrow-ish of them to do that as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's you. Okay, we're good. Everybody stand down.
Yeah. Oh, it's John. We're okay.
You're like, dang it. You gave us all panic attacks. Yeah.
No, I don't know. It just,
that's a
there was
point.
Too many of these cliffhanger on a cliffhanger cliffhanger for all of them to be there. But they could because, again, it was Prometheus messing with lots of things. So he could be messing with Diggle. I'm not saying I'm 100% on it, but I'm like, yeah, maybe that's not as bad as it looks.
To go back to your comment about Lila, Cammy, the reason I would be upset about that is because that is actually one relationship that is normal and mostly healthy, and it's not angsty. And I would be so upset if they ruined that relationship. I just like, nope, keep that marriage strong. Just let them be.
I love getting to see like actual real adult relationships. They're not common on CW shows. That's just the nature of the network, and that's okay. But having any adult relationship representative on the show just makes it feel kind of grounded. You know, we're not seeing like teens fight with each other. It's not about like who's going to get asked to prom. It's like, okay, these are like real adults married to each other. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, that's why I was so passionate. I'm like, no, leave that be.
Lila's not going to take somebody else to prom. It's going to be okay.
You cheated on prom. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, take man. Back your promise ring.
Been there, done that. I mean, had that done to me, actually. I did actually have that happen to me. A girl I took to prom once totally like, cheated on me. I was like, what? It was for her prom, though, so it didn't count.
Story in your biography someday.
Yeah, well, I don't even really care anymore, but it was pretty funny at the time. And no, I mean, actually, let me rephrase that. Hurt at the time, funny now. But that's why I'm also laughing. That's great. Oh, okay. So no on the Diggle. We'll see what happens with Diggle. Right. Let's talk Laurel now. Let's just go into that. I know we've got some theories on that. And
can you do me a favor and hold that one? I want to
wait
till
the end.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Okay.
I have some thoughts I need to get out on that.
Okay. What do you want to talk about first then?
Let's talk a little more about Susan.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Susan.
Ominous music.
Yeah, I mean, she was playing totally up the girlfriend angle, you know, the overly tight red dress at the party, the every moment, you know, running to Oliver's arm. It was just a little, hilarious. I mean, this is the ruthless reporter, right?
Yeah.
Right.
She's just, she's flip-flopped a bit much. Even if she's playing him, it's just a bit much to me how far she's gone from wanting to crucify him to you know, Google-ize on
him. It's a bit like a plot device.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
a little too much. Again, I realize we might be seeing, you know, who's playing who kind of deal. But I don't know. That was just a little jarring to me.
Yeah, and you know, going exactly along with what you just said there, that when Felicity and Susan both came up and said, great speech at the same time, you know, that was a chuckle. But how quickly, like you said, how quickly she ran to his side
to like to his elbow.
Get out of like, Felicity, mine. You can't come near me.
Mine.
Or come
that was definitely CW.
That was
mine.
Weird.
it felt out of character for a reporter because even if she's a ruthless reporter, only dating him to get information, you know, whatever it is, like, if you put yourself in that situation, that's just not how somebody would behave. It'd be like, oh, you know, who is this person? You know, and you wouldn't just like try to butt them out. It felt like artificially induced awkwardness.
Yeah,
and the awkwardness really built in that scene.
Yeah.
He's just too confident. I mean, she'd be more, I mean, I could see that, you know, that entire, you know, jinx. So he said the same thing and her being very casual.
Right.
Oh, you're so cute, Felicity. And I have nothing to worry about. You know, Oliver's mind.
But thank God Thea, I think, sees through it.
Yes, nice to see.
I loved the body language she had when they were around. Beautiful. Like, okay, I'm out of here. This is just, I'm going to throw up in my mouth if I keep listening to her anymore.
I can't believe she didn't go up to him later, you know, when she was up Speedy. You know, they had that great conversation. But I'm really surprised that Thea didn't say Oliver. Seriously? Like, are you doing?
Here's why. I had that thought, not to cut you off, but I had that same thought. And then I went, no, I'm coming back to like Cammy has brought up. I'm going to think that he's smart enough to be playing her. So if Thea brought it up now, Oliver would have to answer with the, oh, come on, you know I'm playing her, don't you, Speedy?
Or she already knows and she was playing her in that party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all acting.
It's possible. It could be a con Oliver and Thea are pulling sort of in cahoots, which would be nice to see.
That'd be awesome.
Channeling their mother. You know, the
Moira
spirit
Queen
of
comment.
Moira Queen is with them.
Yep, yep.
That would be nice. I'm hoping so.
That would be cool.
But I remember at that moment, you know, because the episode pretty much really opens on that party sequence. I think the bit with Artemis comes a second before that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That was the very opening was Artemis and Prometheus. And then when we cut back after the logo kind of thing.
Right. It was the party sequence pretty much after that. I appreciate a good level of comedy. And, you know, you guys know I always like Felicity's little funny lines and all of that. That's great. But even for me, that scene, the level of awkwardness felt so odd. I really just wish they had like moved it later in the, you know, done Brian's sandwich technique, started with some scene that they had that was a little bit, and not necessarily more positive, but like stronger, and like move that a little later, maybe trimmed it a bit. Cause it was just like ongoing awkwardness in every interaction there. And it just felt odd.
It did feel odd, but as you said, it gave Felicity a chance for several great, Felicity lines.
Yeah.
So that's a little like some of the other things in this episode where the part is kind of chafing because there's some really good stuff in there too.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that whole line and regular feedback, or I'm just here for Felicity, quoted that line when Felicity actually said, when they were wondering all that stuff. Well, to be fair, in our town, who did turn out to be a lot. Almost every other Wednesday.
I love that line.
Oh my God.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Oh yeah. Oh wait. Okay.
But wrapped around the other awkward interactions, it kind of stuck out.
Right.
I just had a really interesting random thought really quickly to throw in, because it has to do with the party as well. But we're talking about, you know, hopefully Oliver is playing Susan and maybe Thea's a part of it. Okay. Random Easter egg thought. He said, my favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard.
Yeah.
And does John McClane not play Hans? Or not, it's not Hans. It is Hans. Who was it? Hans was playing him. There we go. Right? Hans was playing John McClane in that moment where he's, I'm just one of the people, you know, but he's the mastermind behind it. So if it's Oliver's favorite Christmas movie, you would think, hey, he knows how to play somebody just like Hans was playing John. And therefore, could he be, you know what I'm saying? Like, could that be an Easter egg?
I hope the writers are on your wavelength.
Yeah, I hope. Because that would be cool. Then it's like, ooh, look at the details. Cool. But then again, maybe we're just overanalyzing it. I don't know.
I could just envision
the Arrow's writer's room going through our podcast going, damn, why didn't we think of that?
Like, we better do that.
I'm hoping the Arrow writers who are, you know, that's their full-time job. I'm hoping they're having these conversations, you know.
Seriously. Like, dear the shadow, we would like you to come and write for Era with us. We'll pay you full time. You're a genius.
Either that or we get a cease and desist. You know? You guys got a microphone in our room? What the hell? You know what we're doing.
Stop predicting.
Shadow gets hired. I get deactivated. out.
Next Thursday, I'm like, there's nobody here to podcast with. What happened?
Yeah. Well, there won't be anybody because there's no episode next Thursday.
Good.
Oh, that point too. Good
transition there, Brian.
Sorry. Oh, man. We're not back to like late January, are we? We've got a whole six weeks or so.
I know. Okay, but going back to the party though, can I say other thing that I loved that they addressed last week? That they addressed the, you know, their Matrix version of the dream or whatever, the Dominators, that they addressed Thea's thoughts. Like, that was, because they didn't do that in Flash. They just skipped right over last week like nothing happened. And I was thankful for that a lot.
Well, I think it also fits because it's aliens, which we don't get in Arrow. So you know, a little chuckle about, no, this is not alien. You know, it fits so much better here too.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because it was so out of place.
Yeah.
On Arrow.
That's true.
With Flash, when they do references, it's usually quite overt. It's like an obvious shirt on Cisco or an open reference to a movie. It's not subtle. Arrow does subtle references a lot more.
Okay, so what do you want to see? What do you want to see with Susan? Let's just go with that. You know, as to who she may be and or where she's going or whatever. What do you want to see? You want to see her die? You want to see her?
Well, here's, before I answer that, I want to know what you, because I think it ties into that answer. What do you both think is up with Oliver's mental note about the move that Prometheus did? So they know Prometheus has been trained by the same one trained him. Is that going to tie into Susan as well?
Oh, the move. I gotcha. The fight move.
The fight move. Sorry.
It could.
Yeah.
I think we'll know more the next time we have another Russian Brava flashback.
Because see, here's the concern I have. I think it could be interesting to have Susan be a part of this Prometheus part rather than just playing Oliver.
Do we know if the actress can fight?
I don't. Good question. Good question.
Wait, what do you mean?
Is it who's
meaning that she could actually be Prometheus, I think is where you're going, right?
Well, if she could even be associated with Prometheus in a way where she would actually be fighting, it would require the actress to have... Okay, it's Carly Pope.
Yeah.
I've seen her in other things, but always like office dramas where she wasn't fighting. I don't know that she would be able to fight, which wouldn't stop them from doing it on Arrow. You know, they can have a stunt double, but a lot of times when they have somebody as a one-off, they'll intentionally cast somebody like how they did with Sarah, somebody with some sort of stunt stuff. And sometimes that can kind of give it away, like, you know, eventually.
But Thea,
like with Summer Glau.
Thea does her, Willa does, she has a stunt double. She doesn't do any of her fight scenes.
Well, Willa did train in like archery and some boxing, and it just after the
fact. But when they
had like Isabel Rochef, Summer Glau, we knew that eventually she would definitely be fighting, you know, of course. Even when she was just in the office at first, we were like, eventually this person's going to kick ass. I was wondering if, Susan's actress was that, but
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
There's some where, you know, if they're on this show, they're definitely going to be fighting at some point.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just really wondering if those brought for flashbacks. I mean, here's the thing. They can't really give us any tease of Susan in the flashbacks too early. Otherwise so many people are going to put them all together.
Yeah.
So that's my concern is like that it would be cool if she's somehow tied to this, but unfortunately I think from a storytelling point of view, you couldn't do that without completely giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in terms of who she is and what's going on, I mean, we still had that scene, going back, four episodes or so, where she was meeting with the person who had the photos about Oliver going, yeah, all those years on the island, guess not. So she's got some connection there.
She's Tyana. That's who it is. She somehow survived, got plastic surgery. That's who she is.
This is not a soap opera, okay?
This is not a soap opera, man.
Vampire Diaries, okay? We're not going there.
I don't watch stuff like that.
Sorry, Justina. Okay.
No, but that's got to be what it is. She's Tyana, and Prometheus is the guy. Okay, fine.
I take it back. I'm looking at her filmography. She actually has been on some action shows before. She was on 24, for example. I don't know how much like fighting stuff she can do necessarily, but I would not rule it out. I would not say she's never done it before.
Well, there's a lot of possibilities about who she is and could be.
Yeah.
Speculation's fun, but
it is.
We don't know.
I think it, just like how we were saying before, speculation with her is fun as long like, and I'm not even like every single thing has to be about Oliver. I'm not saying that, but as long as whatever's going on with her doesn't like severely undermine Oliver's character, I'm pretty open to whatever direction they take her.
Yeah, I would agree. I would completely agree. Okay. All right. So what else, Kevin, before we get to Laurel? Because I want to respect your...
Some breathing.
No, I mean, I enjoyed the episode. There was a lot to like. There were just those few things that just were a little too...
Yeah.
Sore thummy. They stuck out a bit too much that took away some of that enjoyment. But this is a case of where on rewatch... I'm enjoying it more, I think, for example, which, you know, is usually a good thing with a show. If I can enjoy it a little more on a rewatch, then that tells me there's good stuff I'm looking forward to. So, no, I mean, it's. I think we did a pretty good job as usual. And I think if Justina and some other folks mentioned feedback, you know, this is a bit of a downer, obviously. I mean, while there's good cliffhangers, it is pretty sucky with where Felicity's at and Dinklage and all that to have to wait 6 weeks. So on one hand, I'm like, well, I didn't need rainbows and unicorns, but I could have done with a little better of a where you're going to leave me for 6 weeks, but that's Flash. I'm not against it.
Yeah. You got that with Flash. You got the nice, happy, rosy rainbows and unicorns. And then,
I know it's,
I mean,
it's
there was the Flash forward on Flash that wasn't quite as rosy, but present day on Flash, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
So no, it was good. I mean, I liked it that way.
See, and I just, I loved the episode and I had fun. Now, I will tell you this. I tweeted the showrunners and I said, guys, thank you. I really appreciated it. No favorite, you know, or no like, no nothing. Come on, guys. Give me some love here.
I mean, they may have been staying off social media just a tiny bit during the episode.
I'm offended.
Strong reactions.
I'm hurt.
I'll give you a like, Brian.
Yeah, let me head over to Twitter now and give it a like for you, Brian.
No, but I want it from them. I mean, it's like I specifically, you know.
So we're not that important. That's what you're saying.
I'll go message.
You said it. I didn't. I just, I'm just kidding. No, you know what? I would actually like more interaction. This is something that, you know, you have with the Winona Earp, you know, fandom, Kevin, that, you know, you actually do get interaction with the actors and the showrunners and stuff like that. And that is the one thing that I'm still kind of negative and frustrated about, is how little the showrunners and actors do interact with the podcasts. That's frustrating.
Well, I think we've talked about it off podcast. It's just a case the show has gotten so big.
Oh, I get that, but still.
I know too, it's in today's world, there is much more media consciousness, social media and fan initiatives. So yeah, a little bit would be nicer. A little bit would definitely be nicer.
Well, we're promoting their daggum show for free. So come on, people. Work with us. Oh, anyway. All right. So are you ready? Are you ready for Laurel yet? Can we?
I am. I want to hear the two of you first though.
Okay, Cammie, go for it.
Oh my goodness, do I have to? All right. So
No, wait, I'll go. Just, no, I'm just kidding.
I pretty much just have one theory regarding Laurel, and it's the Earth 2 version of her. She somehow got here because of Flashpoint. She's sort of dressed up as the deceased Laurel, and she's gonna like mess with everybody's head for episode or two.
It's not even Laurel at all.
No, it's Earth 2 Laurel.
Oh,
Black Siren is what they call her.
But Laurel, still the same person, just Earth 2 person.
Right. So there's
not our Laurel is what I should have said.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a copy on each Earth. There's like a different copy of the same person. It's a whole thing. Yeah. They explain it on Flash. Frankly, it doesn't necessarily fit with Arrow's dynamic, but here we are. And that's my like one theory. That's what fits, I think.
I'm sorry, cut you off, Brian, but so it's like a two-part question. Okay, that makes sense. My other thing is, how did you feel about it as the, you know, last scene kind of thing?
It didn't feel like a cliffhanger to me. To me, I saw it and I was like, okay, so this is probably Earth 2 Laurel, or, you know, insert whatever else, magic, ghost, vision. But I'm like, okay, I know actual Laurel isn't coming back. I know she's not filming right now. I know that they brought her into film for like an episode or two. So it didn't feel like a cliffhanger. It felt like they were setting something up for like a one or two episode arc, not like this is going to matter for the entire last half of the season. So it didn't feel like a downer. Like, it wasn't like anticlimactic. It just felt like this is like a 10-second teaser for an arc that will run for two episodes, which isn't bad.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way with that. As far as the, I was kind of like, oh, cool, Laurel. But then I was like, I'm interested to see what they do with it. I wasn't upset. But I wasn't like, oh my gosh, she's alive. It was more of a, oh, cool, let's see who it is. I have a couple theories on who she is. The Earth 2 Laurel, definitely, you know, the Black Siren being one of them. At first I was confused. You and I, you know, Cammie, you and I talked about this off mic that I was like, man, she seems really nice to Ollie, because Black Siren was not a nice person. But then you said that she knows how to play people really well. So then that makes sense. So Earth 2 Laurel, strong candidate. Another theory that I had, which would tie into Flash, which would make a lot of sense because it would tie the Flash story in together really, really well. The only downside to this theory is that if you don't watch Flash, you're going to have no freaking clue what's going on. But the idea that, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but for those of you who are watching Flash with Savitar as his name.
Yes, Savitar.
Savitar. They close the box. He goes away, right? Well, in order to open the box, as we saw in Flash, visions appear to people.
Right.
Of certain people. You should totally open the box. It's okay. You know, we can be together, blah, blah, blah. And then they open the box and there you go, Savitar, right? So we do see that that's a possibility in the Flash.
So it could be a vision tied to Flash.
Exactly. Yeah. They're calling Oliver and they're using Laurel. Like, oh my gosh, Laurel's alive. And especially right after the alien thing. Wait a minute. No, this is not right. And so Oliver gets called in to open the box so Savitar can come back. That would be a really cool tie-in. But then again, like I said, if you're not watching Flash, that would just, it wouldn't make any sense.
Right. And I'm not even sure if they're necessarily carrying over that particular component of Flash over and this with the same pacing. So it would make sense though as a tie-in.
Or he's drugged, which was Justina's thought. Right?
Yeah, that Susan spiked his drink. That's a possibility.
And he's seeing visions or something like that, or just hallucinating or whatever.
Yeah. I think the thing is, looking at it, like, we know she's not the big bad. We know she's not the big hero. We know she's probably going to be around for an episode or two. So it didn't feel like the big cliffhanger. The Prometheus bit, like who he is, feels like a big cliffhanger. Diggle feels like a big cliffhanger. What Oliver is going through right now with any number of things feels like a big cliffhanger. That felt like more of a teaser. Like, this is going to happen for a couple episodes when we return. Like, this is a thing to, like, get people wondering what's going to happen. But it's not a teaser for the entire back half. It's a teaser for a couple episodes. So it was like, you know, just like how you have a little promo clip after the episode. I felt the same.
Here's another random theory. I don't know if they'd tie this back or not, but you remember how in Three Ghosts in season two, how he had those visions of like Shadow and some of those other people?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're bringing something back with that, which also brings back my question. Where in the heck is his bag of magic herbs that heals everything?
Right. And they have the whole bit in this episode of like, he says he believes in magic, like in that adorable flashback. Love that. And then, you know, Felicity's like, I don't believe in magic. And he says he does. And that was a nice callback to the fact that like Oliver actually really does believe in magic. Yeah. And we really have seen magic on this show. And like, that's the one sort of supernatural element that does fit with sort of Arrow DNA. So it would be okay. A little bit of magical callback.
Yeah. And herbs.
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin.
I don't really care one way or the other necessarily about the Laurel aspect specifically, but magic definitely here for.
Okay. Kevin, rip us a new one.
You know, I love Katie Cassidy. I love the Laurel character. But I just thought that scene just blew up all of the agony we went through by giving us the soap opera, dun, 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 look who's still alive.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm going to stop crying about what happened to Felicity and what might be happening to Diggle and all of that, because I just saw Laurel. This seemed like the wrong episode to do that in.
Yeah.
That idea, maybe in another episode or two, maybe fine. But on this one, I mean, you ripped my heart out. You know, people I cared about and are in pain. And you're going to do that now? Say what? Especially since, as you pointed out perfectly, Shadow, you know, if you're not following the multiverse and Flash, you have no idea what's going to be the basis for this.
Mm-hmm. Right. It doesn't necessarily fit with Arrow.
No, it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
So you know it felt like now that you put it that way?
Yep.
You know when we watched the supposedly four show crossover and there was that bit tacked on at the end of Supergirl that was just a random scene from the middle of the Flash episode?
Still bitter about that.
And it was like, this is a teaser for what's coming up. But like they tried to pass it off as like something in the show, like not as a teaser. It felt like that. Like it's obviously a teaser for something to come. But we on Arrow don't necessarily have a context for it without knowing Flash stuff. Because I absolutely guarantee it's tied to Flash. I can absolutely guarantee that. Hmm. So it was like a teaser, but also not strictly an Arrow teaser. It didn't fit with what we just saw, as Kevin just pointed out, like where everybody's heartbroken. And if Oliver's going to spend time with somebody, it should probably be somebody from his team. Like, I don't know. It was odd. I didn't have a strong enough reaction to where I was like, I actively dislike this. It just didn't fit enough to really elicit, like, I have a million things where I want this to go, you know?
Let me ask you this really quickly.
That's know, just so again, sore thumb. It just stuck out as like, yeah.
Do you think it's Earth 2 or Earth 3? Because Barry just opened up Earth 3 with, I just can't give away spoilers in case you haven't seen the app, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, as an Arrow viewer, I don't care what Earth it is.
Yeah.
So would you be upset if it was a different Earth, Laurel, Kevin?
No, upset's the wrong word because we have to accept that Arrow is part of this multiverse. So I'm going to go with it, you know? I watch Flash, but I'm not a big fan of the Flash. You know, it's just it's a show I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Right. So It's you got your chocolate and my peanut butter thing. I'm just not sure even though everybody loves them, that they go together.
Mm. Right.
You're a purist.
Well, and like I said, if this reveal of her was in Ep 10 or 11 or 12, then fine. Mm-hmm. Let it be the centerpiece of a, oh my goodness, rather than after this episode. It's just, it didn't seem to fit well to me.
It was a little tone deaf.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what they're doing though, right? We talked about this last week that, you know, episode 100 should have been episode 100 and not part of the crossover. It should have been its own thing. Then you do a crossover. And it's almost like this week's episode should have ended on that montage we talked about. You know, Diggle gets surrounded, everybody's crying, boom, Arrow. That's it. And then, you know, when we come back in January, then, Laurel shows up. You know, like, it's almost, you're right. It's almost like they're trying to combine too many things together. And so things are getting lost or getting overlooked.
It's the impact of it. It's getting lost. Because
on the one hand, yes, it is being sort of a purist, as you said, but it is also, there can be a little bit, and I definitely have seen this online as well, a little bit of resentment of the fact that like Flash and Legends of Tomorrow can both, and Supergirl now, can all sort of affect Arrow, but Arrow doesn't necessarily affect any of those shows. Like Arrow has to deal with the repercussions of Flashpoint, and they've had characters changed around, and they've had aliens brought onto Arrow, you know, and it's just very different, right? Other shows affect it, but Arrow does not have that same ripple effect of repercussions. Like if they make plot choices, it does not necessarily usually change any huge dynamic thing on another show. So that can get it only would get tiring if you don't like the effect the other shows may be having on Arrow. Then it can kind of get a little old.
Well,
if it's cool things, then
it kind of goes back to what Felicity joked about, you know, people who are dead turn out to be secretly alive almost every Wednesday. It's like, I'm glad they're making light of that. And it is hilarious, but that is something that a lot of us have had frustrations with it. It's like, well, somebody dies, but oh no, they're not dead because Flashpoint or, you know, Legends changed. So now they're actually alive. Now granted it, like you just said, it could be a good thing. It could be neat how they tie the story in together. You know, maybe the Legends went back and did something. And actually, Laurel's not even dead. Maybe she never died in the first place, but Oliver doesn't know. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, like that could be cool if they tell the story correctly. But then again,
it would then undermine everything that they claimed throughout all of season four. Arrow is the pretty show, and whoever dies is going to actually stay dead. And
exactly.
We really need to.
I had a hard enough time with the Lazarus Pit.
We really need to be able to, I mean, the writers can certainly withhold information. Like they don't need to, you know, reveal any mysteries or anything, but we do need to be able to, on some level, rely on what they're showing us on screen. Like if it's the same sort of comment we had with Oliver and Susan, like if you've told us all this time that this is a guy who went through hell and has all these skills and this mental acuity and all this, we need to be able to see it in a very basic interaction with a potentially threatening TV reporter, you know, like we need to be able to rely on the characterization that they've given us so far. And so with everything that they claimed, you know, in like 37 to 100 interviews during season four, we probably should stick with it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's just kind of like, you know, but you never know what they're going to do.
Right. So,
yeah. I would tend to definitely be more on the side of what, you know, when Kevin, you were like, ding, 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 ding. I'm like, I've already been a little frustrated with that. Like I personally didn't mind the Lazarus Pit because it's in the comic lore. Became frustrating is with nobody was ever really dead.
Yeah, no, it's okay. In other words, I kind of give it like a one pass kind of idea. Sure. Like, okay. You know, and we all know I'm you know, it brought back Sarah. So how am I ever going to not like it? So,
yeah.
But even that aside, it's like you keep doing it and it's going to, and that's always my concern crossing the streams here of shows, something like Flash or even Legends, which can be a very fun show. You do it too often and it just turns everything to mud.
But that's DC you Comics for you.
That's,
yeah, I know it is. It's still comics. So that's why I'm trying to balance that. And that's why we've always said Arrow was the quote unquote more grounded, more real show.
Yeah.
And I think to an extent, like if any character who's died, if they wanted to bring back, they could throw some magic dust. They could, you know, use some fake their death storyline. You know, you could pull any sort of like soap opera return from the dead type of trope to an extent and kind of get away with it, except for this one, because they spent so long saying, we're trying to prove something about our show, that people who die on the show sometimes do really stay dead. And this one really is. And that's how they were able to generate that gravity for that death all throughout season four, where people actually paid attention, because people die on Arrow all the time. But that one death, they generated this whole huge thing about the fact that this one would stick. So if they like actually did just take it away for a mid-season finale, that could be a little bit of undermining some of their claims. I don't know.
Yeah,
we will see.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's okay because it's Black Siren. And she's a villain.
And I like her. And she's a real canary cry.
Cammy's good with that.
Yeah. She doesn't have that little voice modulator. It's like a scream. And that was awesome on the Flash.
I will live with it for two episodes at least.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if I had to pick, I would probably pick the Huntress. But, you know, if we're bringing in villains, I'm not one to complain, am I?
I'm partial to, you know, Cupid, but that's me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, she was so. I
as
saw
long
her
as she comes back with the good writing side of Cupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Agreed. I saw her at a con recently, and she was chatting about how if she were to return to Arrow, she would like to be able to play matchmaker with the characters. And I think that would be so.
That
cute.
Would be fun, actually.
That would be so cute.
I like Amy. She's cool.
She is.
Well, all right. I guess we'll see what happens. And we have, what, six or 7 weeks?
Six.
January 25th.
Mm-hmm.
25th?
25th.
That's seven weeks. Four, five, six, seven? Seven. Oh, that is
it is seven.
Right. Oh, make it stop. What is wrong with these people? Taking a break, jerks. Anyway.
Well, it just means less weeks off in between when it's back. What
that's
the heck?
And that's nice.
That's true.
I can handle it. You know, it's Christmas. You got to watch Christmas movies and other fun things this time of year. So
watch Home Alone.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, filthy
the
animal.
Actual greatest Christmas movie.
It is one of the. That's actually my favorite personally too. So it's a good one. National
that
Lampoon.
Movie set the bar for stunts, but we'll discuss that at another time.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually when you have stunts where you actually see the person's face getting injured. Oh, there were a lot of things. Were a lot of things done in Home Alone 1 that kind of like set the industry standard at the time for being able to do stunts where you see the person's face. Anyways, we won't get into it.
Yeah. But. I agree. All right. So we can go through. Tell you what, we got a lot of feedback.
We did.
And we'll probably go through this very briefly just because most of the feedback we got is exactly what we just said. So we'll go through it. But first thing we did get on the Facebook group was, are we ever going to bring back the question of the week? And, you know, absolutely. That's something we're interested in and we don't have a problem with it. I think what we sort of discussed, you know, before getting on the mic was the idea of that a lot of times, one, the question of the week would be about, you know, like this week's episode and then, you know, next week, well, it was old news at that point. And then two, you know, questions are always designed to, you know, generate interaction and engagement, and we don't need a question anymore for that because everybody's so wonderfully engaged. So, but we said, you know, why not? Let's bring it back. And the idea that we had was to say, let's take something out of this week's episode, but something that can make us look forward. So in this scenario, we had kind of two questions is, who do you think is Prometheus? I mean, what's your theory on who Prometheus might be? And what are your theories on Laurel? Like, yes, those are the two things that are kind of this big speculations, but there's so many opportunities here. That way, when we come back in 7 weeks, we'll have some crazy theories to share.
Yes.
And we'll find out what actually happens. Sound good?
I like it.
All right.
Good call.
Yep.
Cool. So a few transmissions. First of all, Aaron, thank you for your awesome blog post, or I guess comments in the blog post would be the better way to do it. And by the way, just go to the blog post for last week's episode, Invasion, if you'd like to read Aaron's comments. They're awesome. So many of my great things, and love reading through them. I look forward to them every week, by the way. So thank you very much. But one thing I have to share here.
Yes.
Is yes, the secret is out of Aaron's identity. Hopefully this identity reveal went smoother and better than Caitlin revealing her secret. to Cisco and Barry with the whole Flashpoint thing, because that didn't go so well. But you know what? I'm hopeful now with the mid-season finale with her, by the way. So therefore, yes, your secret identity was revealed much better.
Yes.
Unless you're going to turn me into an ice cube, in which case we're going to have a problem.
Not yet. We'll save that for the finale.
Exactly.
We got a great blog post from Bianca. I'm a little partial because she asked for a little bit more of Salty Cammy. If we could bring out Salty Cammy for like 30 seconds. She wants to hear what I really thought about the way they handled Billy dying, everyone hugging Oliver instead of her. That prompted me to already go through that earlier in this episode. You inspired me, Bianca. We'll be bringing out like horror music, and I'll be doing my salty segments in future podcasts. Just like, exactly.
That's a preview of what's to come.
Yes, that's a preview. That will be a regular 30-second element in future podcasts where no holds barred, I'll tell you what I really thought.
I like as that. I did
already. I'm pretty excited.
I am too. I can't wait.
Yes.
Good stuff. Good
Thank
stuff.
You, Bianca.
Also got regular contributor, I'm just here for Felicity. Some great comments sent in detail. Covered several of those points we mentioned a little earlier, which is wonderful to see, including the quote about the Wednesday, people not being dead there, and focusing a bit on being pleased with the fact that Felicity didn't blame Oliver for what happened with Billy, and understanding that it was Prometheus, and that came out right away, and a good point that was really enjoyed. Also was looking forward to hearing our take on Felicity being upset about Billy, which we brought in here too. So we tried to address that and lots of other good stuff. Always appreciate them very much. Thank you.
And Christy wrote in, and it's so funny, Christy, I love reading your comments because I feel like you and I are like on the exact same wavelength every single week. It's been actually really funny. We already talked about one of your comments earlier about the, we already talked about that, but a lot of the same thoughts as far as Prometheus, loving Prometheus now as a villain just because of how they developed him or her in this episode. And not just the fact that he was a quote serial killer, but more than that. Wow, this is calculated and smart and everything. So anyway, some great stuff now. One comment that we didn't talk about this and I really appreciate it is that Evelyn just sort of disappeared after her reveal. And then that was it. And so what happened to Evelyn and where, what's going to go on with her? So that was a really good question that, it's like I noticed it, but then again, I didn't notice it. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going, oh yeah, that was kind of, I was like, Roy getting lightning shocked and left for dead as Oliver walked off.
Yeah. Nobody noticed.
So, we just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, thank you very much. Christy. Awesome. Awesome. Always to hear from you.
Yeah, we got a great comment from Scarlet Vixen. I admire her fortitude here. She actually stayed away from spoilers and promos, so she was able to enjoy the episode without that sort of like giving away too much. And some of her takeaways, she loved the shade Thea threw at Susan. And she said, as Stephen Amell said on his Twitter, because he live tweeted the episode, it would not be a season of Arrow without a red pen. So she liked that flashback. So did we.
Yes.
And most of her comments had to do with the last 10 minutes of the show, where she had a lot of questions. A lot of the things we already went over in our podcast about really hoping that there's some sort of point to what's going on with Oliver and Susan. Hopefully they're maybe playing each other. She pointed out the Russian vodka bit as well. So yeah, I'm with you, Miss Scarlet Vixen. I'm hoping that there's a point there too.
And we also got a ton and a great ton of voicemails. The Ghost, again, by location and such, a couple episodes behind, but Eps 5 and 6, much along the same lines of some things we have been covering, but to always enjoy when folks are watching, even if it's not at the same schedule that we are. You can still send in those feedbacks, folks, if you're a few Eps behind or whatever, and we'd love to listen to them. So, again, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ghost, by the way. It's always good to hear from you, by the way. It's fun. But yeah, like Kevin just said, ton of voicemails. So we're not going to be able to get to every single one of them, but definitely have a couple. We'll play for
you. Yeah. We have a voicemail from Destiny Dazzler as well.
Hi, Aero Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. Wow, this episode was crazy. I actually really enjoyed it. I love how the flashbacks were intercut with present day. And I loved the slow-mo effects in this episode. As much as I didn't like Billy, I thought it was really, really sad how he died. I'm curious as to who set Diggle up and what that storyline is all about. I still don't trust Oliver's girlfriend. I still think that she's up to something. As far as Curtis goes, I kind of saw that coming, but it still makes me really sad. And Felicity makes me really sad. It really breaks my heart that she is going through hurt all over again. And what is going on with Laurel? Like, is it because of Flashpoint that she's back? Did she not actually die in the first place and her and Oliver set something up for her to go away for a while and come back? Like, what is going on with that? I will talk to you guys soon. Bye.
I know what it is. They're tying in the Walking Dead universe. It's not actually the whole hi Ollie, and then all of a sudden it's going to be reality, and it's going to be Ollie. Brains.
That's exactly what Arrow needs.
Yeah.
Another crossover.
Totally. It'll be all zombies. Oh, great thoughts here from Phoenix.
Aloha, this is Phoenix with input on the mid-season finale for Arrow. Wow, that was a fantastic episode. I feel like they've kind of rolled over the 100th anniversary into this one as well, because we had a lot of great throwbacks to obviously season one and such, but with the flashbacks being in season one, that was a really interesting aspect of the storyline. So I know everybody's going to kind of be focused on Laurel Lance and kind of give that I told you so moment with the whispering in the ear and such with Oliver, but I just wanted to put forth an idea that perhaps we could have had a visit from Savitar and maybe have a little bit of Sorcerer's Stone action going on, and maybe we have Laurel coming back from actually a different dimension, and maybe she'll actually have an organic canary scream. That would be awesome to see. I know that there's been hints that Flashpoint is going to have big ramifications for all the shows, so we'll be standing by to watch, but I am excited to see Laurel back, so... I know Podcast Overlord probably is too. So until next time, aloha.
Wait, are you excited to have Laurel back, Podcast Overlord?
I love Katie Cassidy. I like the Laurel character. I just, like, as I said, just at this point, it just felt out of place.
I think I'm more the Laurel fan. You're the Sarah fan.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes,
more so Sarah, but it doesn't mean I don't
like
Laurel.
Yeah.
What can I say? I appreciate you thinking of me there, Phoenix.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank
Even
you.
Though I totally got jacked and I'm the Laurel fan, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm totally
got a nice message too from Cyberman. She did say we didn't need to play it, but I did want to point out one of her comments along with aligning with a lot of what we talked about was reminding us that this is actually like the third time in the series we've seen Oliver show up at a woman's door in the middle of the night.
That's a good
after
point.
Something bad has happened to him. So he's definitely making this a pattern. Good observation.
Yes.
Good observation,
yes.
Lee.
Thank you.
And we had a lovely voicemail from the Green Butterfly, one of our favorites to hear from. She commented she didn't necessarily love the episode, but she liked seeing how far Oliver has come. And she commented on a few of the storylines with Curtis and Paul. She could see how that was hard for both of them. And she said the episode was somewhere between a 7 and an 8 point rating. She thinks with Laurel and Diggle showing up, there at the end and their cliffhangers, she thinks it might be closer to an 8. And her question was, did the reporter spike Oliver's drink? And that's why he saw Laurel.
Yeah. Good point, Justina. That really, I mean, that's another great theory. This is why I love these theories.
Yeah, there was a lot of good stuff in hers. A lot of stuff that we covered throughout the episode.
Yeah. Thanks, Green Butterfly.
Yeah.
Had a couple of messages from Martin, a.k.a. The Flash. The first one, it was very detailed on some of the plot stuff. Definitely, Martin thought it was a fantastic, wonderful episode, to quote him. And he pointed out, as we did, some of the things we really enjoyed was some of the storylines moving, the Curtis storyline, you know, what Prometheus ended up having Oliver have to do to Billy. There was a lot to really point out and enjoy. He was a big fan of, you know, WTF with Laurel, what's going on? He loved that he left us hanging on that one. So definitely could tell just from the tone of voice, Martin was enjoying this one.
Yeah. Martin also sent another voicemail in that he asked not to be played, did not want to be embarrassed. So naturally, we're going to embarrass him. No, actually, not really. But what I can share a little bit, which and I had to talk about this one because I was laughing, Martin, listening to your voicemail on this one. He did have a dream. He was in the Queen Mansion. Thea was there. Thea asked him to marry her. I'm not going to go into any details, but I thought
that's my dream too.
And I thought, oh, that's a hilarious dream. But then I thought, wait a minute. I had a similar, now Thea didn't ask me to marry her, but I had a similar dream and Thea was in it about a year and a half ago. And I was laughing and I'm going, oh, that's random. Might've been 2 years ago now, but so funny. So Martin, I'm wondering now if the Dominators have us both like linked somehow.
Oh, you're both jacked into the Matrix?
Yeah. I'm a little concerned.
If the Dominators are putting thoughts in your head of Thea being into you, like there's worse things that could happen in an alien abduction than having Thea fantasies. I mean, well, that's not a bad life.
My problem is that she wasn't into me. So she wasn't not into me. It's just what, it just wasn't that kind of dream. So Martin got the better end of the you know, the thought, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, that's funny though. So thanks, Martin. Appreciate it, man. Again, a lot of great comments. So thank you so much for, thank you so much. We love all the comments. And even though we can't, you know, play them or talk about every one of them and everything, we certainly do. As Kevin, you always say this every week, we do read them, we do listen to them, we do love them. So thank you very, very much.
Each and every one of them, yes. Yeah. Whether written, textual, blog comments, or text emails, or 4.5-minute messages from Martin or whoever we do. This is what makes it so much fun.
It's amazing. Now, we are not going to be, you know, back on Arrow Squad, you know, talking about an episode for 7 weeks because, you know, the writers decided to take a break. I mean, geez. So we're actually going into hiding. Decided that probably the best way to pay for Christmas presents this year is to, you know, visit a bank and have some fun. But anyway, we won't go into that because I don't want to go into, you know, so we're going to go into hiding. You probably won't hear from us for a while, or maybe you will. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Kevin, you've got something exciting coming up.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, not specifically Arrow related, but I'm going to be speaking at a convention called Klexicon in early March in Las Vegas. Brand new convention that started up for the LGBT community. They've got several great guests from Lost Girl and Wynonna Earp, which is the topic I'll be speaking on with some of my fellow fans on the impact we were able to have in that fandom to help get that show renewed. And I've also got a panel about podcasting that's under consideration, too. So we might have some other fun stuff there. So if you're in or near Vegas or it's something you want to check out at klexicon.com, I'm looking forward to seeing some folks there.
I'm interested to hear that talk. You know, that's something that I was very, encouraged and impacted by about how influential you know, your Wine on Earth podcast was to, like you said, get it renewed and to bring that fandom around the actors and the showrunners. I mean, that was so incredible to hear.
Oh, yeah.
So good work, my friend.
And that's such a cool con. I've heard such great things about Klexicon. So I'm really excited to hear about your experience there. I think you're going to love it.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. So if any of you listening are going to be there, by all means, reach out, let me know, and look forward to seeing you.
Sweet. So, Cammie, what are you going to be doing, you know, now that you're not going to have Arrow after shows and all that? Like, what are you going to do?
Well, have you seen The Grinch? And then just picture me as the Grinch. And that's kind of what my Christmas break will look like. No, I'm kidding.
You're stealing people's presents and souls?
Stealing joy, keeping my heart as small as possible. No, so I have another article out. If you missed any of the crossover, that's maybe a little late, but it was posted on my Facebook and Twitter, kind of summarizing the crossover. If you missed bits and pieces, that's all there on Starry Magazine. And over the break, I'm going to continue writing little bits and pieces for them. You can also find me on Twitter, live tweeting either TV shows or my real life, whichever one is more interesting at the moment. And yeah, I'll be around. You can come talk to me about Arrow. Sweet. Anytime. If you like think of it over hiatus and you're like, that show's not going to be around for a while, guess what? I will be around. You can come talk to me about it.
I love it. I am not really going into hiding, and I'm not going to rob a bank, even though some of you put that. I suggested that thought.
You promised me.
I know. I'm working on a little bit more legal way. a little bit, though. Just a little bit. We'll figure that one out. But please check out The Real Brian Show. I really want you to check it out. I want some feedback. Ever since, this is third episode this week that has been since the quote revamp. I've gotten just some wonderful, wonderful positive comments about, you know, the direction that it's going. And of course things are going to grow and everything, but it's nice to know that, you know, on the right track, doing our thing, but man, it's so much fun. Having such a fun time right now, talking with some amazing people, including, you know, Arrow Squad's very own CJ Thunder. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talked about racism. So, whoa. Yeah, dun. No, I mean, it's one of those topics that it's like, man, you know, people are, yeah. Like, whoa, what do we do with this? So anyway, do check it out. I interviewed Chewbacca this week. And next week we're talking Rogue One. So, it's going to be fun. Nice. A lot of fun things. But, Kevin, did you give up on that show? Cause I never. You're just like, oh, Brian, I'm not listening to another one of his podcasts.
Oh, no, I sample some of your real Brian stuff. Yes. Yeah. I don't listen to every minute of every episode, but I did hear Yoda the week before.
Yeah. Were you encouraged?
I have not heard the most recent one, but I did hear some of your stuff with Yoda.
That's fine. Oh, geez. It's funny. Anyway, yeah. Cool. So, yes, please join us. But otherwise, arrowsquad.com is a place to be. And, of course, if you just get bored over Christmas, I mean, you know, the best thing you can do is just go back and listen to these episodes over and over and over and over. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Seriously. Get in the Facebook group. Come on, discuss the episodes. Yeah. There was like 100 comments on the latest one.
Oh, I know.
So, yeah, you know, we'll be going all throughout the hiatus in there on topics, no doubt.
We really are. I mean, that's the one thing is we're going to be getting insane in there. So come see what happens.
Mm-hmm. All the theories, all the time.
Well, the next actual Arrow episode that we will cover is January 25th. So, you know, after that, who are you? Episode 10. But, you know, there's been talk about doing some kind of a four-show superhero podcast roundtable crossover. Who knows if that's actually going to happen or not. So, you know, you never know. We might be back.
Yeah, we might surprise you.
Yeah. We might surprise you by singing for 25 minutes.
No, I can guarantee I will not surprise you by singing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, all of that good stuff. Do enjoy the season. I'm going to go drink some eggnog. I'm out of here. Shadow signing off.
Yeah, we appreciate the community, folks. Podcast Overlord out.
And I'm Cammy, and I'm going to not be the Grinch. Have a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media at goldenspiralmedia.com.